Good evening, everyone. We're going to be reading in Matthew chapter 5. It's on page 968 of the church Bibles. If you do need a Bible, please put up your hand and one of our stewards will gladly bring one over to you. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to focus on verses 14 to 16, but we'll read from verse 1. Now when he saw the crowds, Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This is a word of God. Please turn back in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Mankind's first space flight lasted 108 minutes on April the 12th, 1961, by a Russian cosmonaut named Yuri Gagarin. I'm sure that fact isn't a new one to many of you. But he was the first man to get that breathtaking view of the Earth from outer space. The one that is so famous with the blue of the oceans and the continents mapped out by the land masses and the wisps of clouds. A favorite poster of many young people that has come down in the last 50-odd years. Did it cause Yuri Gagarin to break down in tears, that wonderful view that he got, and praise his creator? Well, if official reports from the Russian government are to be believed, from 1961, he was recorded very famously as saying, "I've looked, and I've looked up here, but I don't see God." Instead of praising God, what was praised was human achievement, human ingenuity, and the power of the Russian state. "I've looked, and I've looked up here, but I don't see God." And sadly, this highlights a problem that all human beings, except the Lord Jesus, are guilty of. You see, way back at the beginning of the Bible, God created human beings as praisers. He created us to praise. But we were created to praise Him and Him alone. We were created to have a wonderful relationship where we loved him and obeyed him and worshiped him as our creator. It is right that he alone receives all our praise. Indeed, to be human is to praise God. It's to owe your existence to that perfect, loving creator. That was how the earth was supposed to work. Proper praise is given to God only as we live with him as king and we as his obedient creatures. But every single person has a Yuri Gagarin problem. Every single person has a praise problem. You see, instead of obediently giving him all the praise that he's due, every single human being, including me, decided that they would quite like the praise that God is due for themselves. I decided that I would turn against him. I decided that I would know better than my creator. I decided that, in fact, I would be God myself. I would get all the praise. Diggy, look how well you've done. And even worse than that, I decided that I would praise created things. Things that were never meant to get all my praise, all my deepest commitments. I would praise things like Glasgow Rangers. Or I would praise my work. Or I would praise money. These would be the deepest longings and deepest commitments of my heart. Now, putting aside just for a moment the arrogance of ignoring God and the dangerous position that praising these other things puts me in, the Lord Jesus arrives in Matthew's gospel and he says in verse 16, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." The Lord Jesus arrives in Matthew's gospel and says, actually, the focus of your praise to be a proper praise giver is to have that relationship that you were originally created for. You see, let's be clear that we understand what Jesus is saying when he uses that word, praise. You see, there's a danger we think he's saying that we want our non-Christian friends to wear the clothing of Christianity, to come to church, or sing hymns, or pray, or put money in the offering bag. When he says that he wants others to praise his Father in heaven, he is saying that he wants the object, the purpose of their life is to have that proper relationship once more of praise to the living God. The Father is praised as people turn from sin, turn from being praise stealers, praising only the things they want to. The Father is praised as people turn from that and come follow Jesus. Jesus wants people's ultimate commitments to change. Jesus calls people to that original relationship they were created to have. Jesus wants people to become proper praise givers once more. And as unlikely as it seems, people begin to praise in the right way, Jesus says tonight, through the impact of his disciples. His disciples who have already become proper praise givers. It's through us who have turned, have repented, and come follow Jesus that others themselves will have that proper relationship they were created to have. As I walked through Enfield Town yesterday at lunchtime, there were lots of people there. There was a guy handing out flyers for Sky. There was the woman serving coffee and muffin break. There was a woman with four kids at the end of a rope. There was the guy who sold me the can of Pepsi Max. How are all these people going to become proper praise givers? As disciples, as you and I, followers of Jesus, rub up against them, interact with them daily, and shine as light. And as we do that, the Lord Jesus will be at work, drawing people to turn, come follow him, and give praise to his Father in heaven. So tonight, I want to show you three ways that others will become proper praise givers through Jesus' disciples, through us. Others become praise givers as disciples live as children of light. That's the first one. Others become praise givers as disciples live as children of light. Let's look at verse 14. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." You are the light of the world. He's talking here to his disciples. Did you notice the certainty of Jesus' words? He's not saying to his followers, you know, if you feel like it, you can be the light of the world today. If you're having a good day, if you're feeling all right, you're the light of the world. No. Jesus says definitely to his followers, every single one, you are the light of the world. This is who you are. You cannot escape that this is what Jesus has called you to be. What's Jesus talking about? Well, again, some context in Matthew's gospel really helps us. Look back at chapter 4, verse 15. Matthew quotes from Isaiah, an Old Testament prophet who lived 750 years before Jesus. He says this, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea, along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Matthew describes Jesus as a great dawning light. With the arrival of Jesus, something new was beginning. The start of a new day. The start of a new period of world history. If we use the image of light and dark, if we use praising in the wrong place as like wandering about in the dark, that darkness has cast a massive shadow over our world. That is what sin is. To praise in the wrong place. And it eventually will lead us to darkness and death and destruction. As Johnny told us this morning, if we continue to praise in the wrong place, we are doomed. But Jesus came to lead people out of that kingdom, to bring them out of that darkness. And Jesus came to destroy the power of that dark kingdom by dying and rising again. How does Jesus dawn on people like the sun at the start of a new day? How does Jesus change people to become praise givers instead of praise stealers? Look at verse 17 of chapter 4. "From that time on, Jesus began to preach, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near.'" What does it mean to repent? Let's keep reading on at verse 19 and 20. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once those men left their nets and followed him. Jesus says that to repent is to turn away from that dark, praise-stealing kingdom and instead to come and follow him. That means to stop living in that land of the shadow of death and to come and start living in the light, to live by the light, to live for the light, to live with the light. As I confess my sin and as I trust in the Lord Jesus for its forgiveness, Jesus changes me to be like him. I'm no longer wandering around in the dark. He's brought me out of that and brought me into the light. He's transformed me to have the relationship once more that I should have with my Heavenly Father. He's made me a proper praise giver. And having called his disciples to repent and come follow him, as we've been looking at in these past weeks, these Beatitudes, is how he teaches his disciples to live as light in this dark world. He teaches us and transforms us to be poor in spirit, to mourn over sin, to be meek, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, to be merciful, to be pure in heart, to be a peacemaker, to be someone who's persecuted because of righteousness. This is what it means to live as light in this world. We will be distinctive. We will stand out. We will be unlike the dark. And the way we live our lives and the way we speak to people, especially about Jesus, will constantly show that Jesus has lit us up. And Jesus will have an impact on people through us as we live and we speak for him. But not only will he do that as we live as children of light. Children of light must stay out in the open. Again, the second half of verse 14. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men. If you've ever been to Edinburgh, and I was there recently, and you walk down Prince's Street, which is in the middle of Edinburgh. Anyone ever been to Edinburgh? Anyone? Yeah, lots of people have been. As you walk down Prince's Street, where is your gaze almost certainly drawn? Up at the castle, isn't it? To the castle. And at nighttime, if you walk down Prince's Street, the castle is all lit up. You can't miss it. When you think of somewhere like Hollywood, what do you expect to see sitting up on the hill? The letters, the Hollywood sign. And at night, again, they light it up. You can't miss it. If you remember back last year, last summer, to the Football World Cup in Rio, in Brazil, they've got a great big statue of Jesus that sits on top of that hill overlooking the whole city. And at night, it's all lit up. The idea is pretty straightforward. Big objects lit up on the top of hills are hard to miss. Let's not overcomplicate it. Similarly, you can't miss what light does in a dark room. You don't turn on a light and then try to cover it up with bin bags or a blanket. It's supposed to give light. When you're on a plane at night and you look out the window, all you can see are the lights from down on the earth. If you're out in the countryside at night and you look up at the sky, the lights shine and sparkle in the night sky. Jesus says that to follow him, to be poor in spirit, to mourn over sin, all the things we've been looking at, is to be lit up on a hill, is to be standing as light on a dark night. That's what we've to be. We're supposed to be hard to miss. And if we want people to praise our Father in heaven, we must not hide what Jesus intends to be seen. No one lights a lamp and put it under a bowl. Why would we do that? Why would we hide? Why would we cover up? Well, I don't know if you remember at verse 11. But verse 11 of Matthew 5 said, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." I could imagine trying to hide. People wanted to say evil things about me, insulted me, persecuted me because I followed the Lord Jesus. It would be easy to cover up then. It would be easy to just go along with the sinful, judgmental attitudes of others around me, or to smugly look down on people because everyone else is, or to pick on the easy target at school or college because what people think of me, what my friends think of me, is more important than what Jesus does. It would be much easier to go along with the crowd after work and just get drunk, just to hide and cover up. It's much easier not having to explain to friends and family and people that we meet that the reason I live as light, the reason I'm different is because of Jesus. Now, we can easily hide by blending in. But I wonder, for most of us, if the place that we like to hide most actually is in here, in this local church. As I thought about it this week, it's easy to hide my light with all the other lights. It's easy to stay in here in the light factory, in the light shop. But the function of light is to go where it's dark and shine there. I must be with people who don't know Jesus and who don't praise our Heavenly Father. I must go to the rooms that are dark and shine brightly. Now, of course, as we were told last week from Johnny, we still need our Sunday gatherings. We still need our Tuesday nights. We still need our kids' groups so that we can be taught and we can grow and we can encourage one another and we can pray. And of course, there is a place for events, evangelistic events, that we can invite our non-Christian friends to. But this week I thought, where am I functioning as light in the dark places of Enfield? Where am I breaking new ground, going on mission, impacting by contacting, where it's dark? It can't simply mean opening the doors of this place and hoping that people will come in. I've got to go get out. I've got to get out and meet people who aren't yet praising our Heavenly Father. It means that I have to intentionally seek contact with non-Christians. I'm going to make it a priority. I'm going to have to change up some of my working patterns and what my diary might look like. I've got to change my habits because Jesus wants me to shine where it's dark. I was encouraged and rebuked as I heard recently about a Christian man in his 80s who had joined a reading group at his local library. He was concerned that he wasn't meeting enough non-Christians. And how would they know what Jesus thought about those books unless he went and lived his light? He wants to shine around others in places that's dark. Now, it doesn't sound too difficult to me. He wasn't trying to force it. He wasn't trying to do something that he hated. A man in his 80s, he wasn't trying to reach the wrestling team. He was going to places that God had given him a passion for, books. And he thought, how can I shine? How can I point people to praise my Father in heaven? What talents has God given me to do that? How is Jesus helping me to reach others? He was wise enough to know that as an avid reader, here is somewhere where he could shine as light. What are the passions that God has given us to build those relationships? Where are the places that we can intentionally go, purposefully go, and shine light where at the moment there are groups of people living in the dark, praising themselves, praising things that don't deserve praise, instead of praising our Heavenly Father. So you know what will happen if we use those opportunities, if we are intentional? Well, as we live lives following Jesus, not being motivated by power or money, sex or alcohol, we will stand out like a city on a hill. We will stand out like a light in a darkened room. As we choose to go to the same coffee shop and build the relationship with the staff, or if I go to the same newsagent, or I strike up a conversation tomorrow morning with my postman, or whenever he comes. As I follow Jesus in the hospital ward, as I follow Jesus at the family wedding, As I follow Jesus on the drive to work or the commute to work with a colleague, when I'm talking about sport, when I'm on the sports field, when I'm at university or in a new job, I'm there to live as light. And Jesus will help me do it. And Jesus will use those opportunities to draw people out of darkness into his kingdom of light and give praise to his Father in heaven. But it's never going to happen if I sit in my study or I stay with all the other lights. Maybe it's helpful to think of the Lord Jesus. He left the glory of heaven to live the best life, the blessed life here on earth, on a sin-dark world. And he was the light that dawned and brought others out of darkness. Did he at any point hide that best life? No. He was always poor in spirit. He was always mourning sin. He was always pursuing righteousness. And he was constantly on display. He lived his life with people. And he always pointed them to give praise to his Father in heaven. He called them to repent. Come follow him. There was a man in Matthew 9, the Bible tells us, who was paralyzed. And he met the Lord Jesus. Could Jesus hide his mercy from that man? No. He healed him. And what was the man's response? To give praise to God. In Matthew 15, a crowd of people are brought to Jesus who are lame and blind and sick. Could Jesus hide the fact that he was other people driven? No. He healed them. And what was the response of all the people there that day? They gave praise to God. On the day that he died, that very public death and pain and agony, even that day, the response of the centurion on duty, Matthew says, and the other soldiers around, when they saw everything that had happened, they praised God and said, surely Jesus is the Son of God. His life, his death, his resurrection, all on display, all out in the open, so that people would see and believe, that people would turn from that kingdom of darkness into his kingdom and give praise, be proper praise givers again. And just as Jesus stood out, he's lit us up to be seen. We are light. It is through us that he draws people out of that kingdom. Finally tonight, others become praise givers as disciples avoid seeking praise for themselves. Others become praise givers as disciples avoid seeking praise for themselves. As a little boy growing up in Glasgow, I played a lot of football. And there was one position that every little boy in Glasgow wanted to play when they were growing up. What do you think it was? Striker. Everyone wants to score the goals. Everyone wants to be the hero. Everyone wants to be patted on the back and congratulated when they score that winning goal and the whole team celebrates. Everyone wants to be striker because that's where the glory is. Is it a nice feeling to score the winning goal? I've no idea. I was too busy at the back kicking people. It sure looked like it was nice. And when people came into the dressing room after the game, when the person who'd scored the winning goal had done that, very rarely did they say, well, it was a team effort. I couldn't have done it without you boys. They would often come into the dressing room and say, cracking goal, wasn't it? We love praise for ourselves. And no matter what line of work we're in, what we enjoy doing, we love to be praised. And we love it just that wee bit more when we hear the praise of others about us. Now, hear me correctly. There's nothing wrong with wanting to do your job well. I'm not saying that for a moment. But when you begin to work for your own praise, it's a very short step to falling into sins of pride and arrogance, of believing yourself to be better than you are. And it's a very short step as well to becoming a people pleaser and not a Jesus pleaser. It's very easy to start thinking that what my friends think of me, what those praise of me, is more important than what Jesus thinks of me. Let me read verse 16 again. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Who's to get all the praise as I live as light? Our Father in heaven. Now perhaps you're thinking, good deeds, what are good deeds here? Well, in the context of Matthew 5, it must be talking about the Beatitudes. It's not when I pick up litter or help people across the road or get involved in a community project. Good deeds here are when I speak and act as someone who's poor in spirit. When I speak and act, mourning over sin and with purity of heart and being a peacemaker. And when I am noticed for doing these things, I must not let people think that it's because Doogie is a good boy. Even though I want it, I must not let people think he's one of them nice Christians. I must not take the praise for myself. As our friends and family or colleagues notice that we are different, that we are light, what we must say is this: you cannot give me any credit at all for being like this. I'm a terrible person who sins every day. I deserve nothing but the punishment of hell from God for all those times I have not given him praise. But my Father in heaven sent the Lord Jesus to transform me. The Lord Jesus lived the life I never could. He always lived giving praise to his Father. He never sinned. He died the death that I deserve and took the punishment my sin deserves for not praising God. He was raised to life again to offer me the promise of new life that I can have if I am willing to turn and follow him and praise his heavenly Father. And as some people hear those words, where we give our heavenly Father the praise he is due, people themselves may come and follow Jesus. And so I invite you tonight, if you're not a Christian, if you're not someone who's ever given praise to their heavenly Father, if your praise for your whole life has been in the wrong place, will you turn from your sin? Is Jesus drawing you out of that dark kingdom? Is he drawing you away from being a praise stealer into his kingdom of light that gives praise to his heavenly Father? Will you repent of your sin and come follow Jesus, your Savior and your Lord, who died on a cross to take the punishment that you deserve, to give you the hope of heaven? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, isn't it interesting to notice where this section on the Beatitudes ends? With Jesus declaring to his disciples that he expects them to live the blessed life right in among the people of his day, right in front of the crowds who were all gathered round that day. That's where they're to live as light, so that others themselves could come and live the blessed life. Will you and I accept this final challenge? of the Beatitudes? Will you and I be light that Jesus has called us to be in places that are still dark, that don't yet know him? Do I realize that as I shine in those places, that as I live this beatitude lifestyle that Jesus has called me to and transformed me and enabled me to live, that people themselves will be drawn out of the darkness, they will repent and come and follow him? Will we go? Let me pray. Our Father in heaven, would we accept that as we follow Jesus, we are light? Would we, with your help, be those who live shining before our friends in Enfield? Would you stir in us that passion to go to dark places and live as light so that others would praise you by coming and following Jesus? Father, please forgive us for our many failures and sins in this area. Please stir that passion. Please, would you give us those opportunities? Please, would you make us think of the people and places that we could go this week and live as light and shine in the dark? We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.